You. Next, please help us welcome Joe D. from Tucson.
My name is Joe D. and I am an alcoholic. You guys are awesome. This is the best greeting ever. Thank you all that have served and are serving. I really appreciate it. I joined the military because different time, a billion years ago, very lonely all the time, only child, only grandchild of 8 grandparents. So I was the center of the universe. Everybody did whatever I wanted and gave me everything I wanted, and I was still desperately lonely. I was always surrounded by people. Growing up, I heard a story. I was probably about 6, and I heard this story about a little boy who everybody was worried about because he had an imaginary friend, and they thought there was something wrong with his mind. But they paid a lot of attention to him. So I wanted an imaginary friend because then people would pay attention to me. But I couldn't find an imaginary friend, so I faked having an imaginary, I had an imaginary friend because I didn't know where to find one. And I didn't want to be lonely anymore. So I understood loneliness. And I understood I didn't fit. I just didn't fit. And I tried to do things, and outwardly it seemed like I was succeeding. And then I just blow them all up. I started drinking at the age of about 7 or 8. I realized I could hide apple juice in my room and wait until it hardened. I didn't know why that was important. All my family drank. I served cocktails from when I was old enough to walk. I just drank. Everybody in my family drank. No one else is in a program. Some of them don't even seem like they need a program. Some of them just seem like us. And that's okay. So fast forward, I managed to randomly show up in different states with different people doing different jobs, and somehow or another I ended up in Wisconsin at a factory, and a war broke out. And I'm sitting there, decent job, love my job, love my car, love whatever guy I was dating at the time, whatever. Everything was going as right as it normally did for me before I blew up things and left. But I had this voice inside me telling me it was time to go defend what my forefathers had created. And so I joined the military. I don't know why. That's honest what had happened. It was a brief encounter, so by the time I left for basic training, it was already over. But I fell in love, because it was a place that had rules. Everything is supposed to look like this. This is what you do next. I didn't have to think. I knew where I was supposed to be. I knew what I was supposed to do. And I could excel for the first time in my life because there was direction. And there was something outside of this chaos inside my head. And we were all green. It didn't matter. It didn't matter where you were from, what you did, what you looked like. We were equal. We were all green. We were all in it together. We were one family. And I loved it. And I loved being in the Army. I loved what we were doing. I loved why we were doing. And I loved what was happening because of it. And I finally felt like that peace at home when I was in uniform. When I was out of uniform, random shit happened, just like before. You know, I would end up in the wrong state with the wrong people doing the wrong things. I was a blackout drinker. I often woke up saying things like, "Oh dear God, not you," or or they'd tell me, "We found you out on the sidewalk, but the other person that talked to me earlier told me that they had to lock me in the room when I started stripping." So my first obvious question was, well, was I naked? you know, and people thought that was strange. Whoa, I wasn't, I swear. okay, I was. This obviously how I spent the last of my drinking days, completely blacked out.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah, I know. So the truth was. Yeah. And then in the middle of it, I remember I just didn't want to get out of uniform because I couldn't function. I couldn't function after hours. I married in the military. I was a horrible, horrible, horrible wife. I did everything wrong that I could possibly do. Turned out he was a drunk, figure the odds. He enrolled in, at that time, what they called ADEPC for drinking. And I remember that they wanted me to go, too. And I explained I just drank with him. It wasn't a big deal. So I quit drinking just to support my husband of the moment. And they said that if I could go 6 months without a drink, I probably didn't have a problem. So I went 9 months because I had structure. You know what you do. And then I came home and got in a fight with him about laundry. But by the time I got in a fight with him, I had already went to my squad leader and explained that I was being abused. Man never hit me. Had a room, had everything set up so that when I got back home, I could just have the fight and move into the barracks. I had the plans, told everybody I was going out, and immediately picked up where I left off. Within 2 months, nobody would speak to me. I'd go across the quad, and people would pretend like they didn't know me. I'd go down to a formation, and they'd tell me to bathe after I'd already bathed because I still reeked of it. I couldn't wash it off. I couldn't have the things stop happening that were happening. It was just accelerating at this ungodly rate. So I tried reclassing. And funny thing is, you can also get drunk in Alabama. And lots of bad things happened there. I was writing checks on non-existent accounts. I didn't know they didn't exist. I didn't know I should pay attention to where I was writing checks. But I mean, seriously, how was I going to drink at night if I didn't have cash? So I'd go over and I'd buy a case of beer and write for 20 over and then go to the bar. It was balance. So when I got back to my unit, I was brought up on charges. And they did a debate on whether or not they should just kick me out or kick me out and turn me in and have me serve some time. And it never dawned on me that it was serious. It was, I can't believe those assholes actually wanted me to go to jail. Don't they understand? I had no idea it was a bad check. You know, when they said, well, here's your money over here, I went and spent all that on alcohol, too. It was like bonus time. And so they sent me to ADEPC. And I remember the first counselor I saw was actually my husband's counselor from when he had gone in like 9 months before. Now, my husband was brilliant. He went into ADEPC, went a few times, got drunk, and got kicked out for medical, honorable under medical conditions, because he couldn't complete the program. I went in, the woman was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're still alive. You look like shit, sit down. And sent me to a meeting. She told me to go to this little meeting in Fort Hood, Texas, and look for this guy named Terry. So I went running in, 27 at the time. I see this little man who's got 2 years. I go running up and basically throw myself on him. And he's like, dear God, no, get away, whoever you are, stop. And I just latched on to him. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to be out of the military for anything. And I didn't have any place to go. And I didn't know what to do. So I was desperate. And I showed up. That was on December 1st, 1995. I'm in the middle of being kicked out because of all the things that I've done. And I'm terrified. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me, it was whatever higher power there is. Don't say the G word, because I'd run out screaming. But I was in a group where they weren't allowed to. It was in Texas, but we had this old timer that used to say, Jesus Christ is not an alcoholic, the Bible is not AA approved literature, neither one of them just need to be discussed in this meeting. And that saved my ass, because I was so terrified that you were gonna have that structure. I could do this structure. Don't give me that structure, because I will die. And so I was allowed in, and I was brought in. And somewhere in that first couple of weeks, the knowledge of knowing, if I just pick up another drink, I'll go into rehab, and they won't be able to continue kicking me out for 18 months, because it's 6 months in treatment and a year after much. I will save my military career if I pick up a drink. But that fear of, or I might go AWOL and end up dead, because the last few drinks I was trying to commit suicide with my truck because she understood me. I don't know why I stayed sober. I really don't. But those old timers told me, keep coming back. 90 meetings in 90 days. I didn't know what else to do with my time. I'd show up to meetings because that's what you told me to do. So December 1st was my first day in. December 29th, I was removed from the military. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity, because I came into this program where we're all equal, where we all matter, where we are a group. It doesn't have that structure, so the voices are big. And it's been a few years, and now I can identify, oh, those aren't your voices, those are my voices, and I probably need help for that. But the freedom that you have given me, because when I get out there, it's not about you anymore, it's about me. It's not about what should have happened or what could have happened or what I did wrong. It's about what am I doing in this moment and how can I be a better person and have that opportunity to be a little bit more sober, a little bit more free, and to do incredible things with people like you guys today. You know, I have a life that I never imagined was possible. I have freedom that I owe to you in both sense of the words. And I have a hope that even tomorrow will be even greater. You know, today, ironically, I work for a Christian financial company, which is about as far away from writing bad checks and running from anybody that said God as you can get. But it's working right now, and I love my job. And who knows what's next? I never planned this. Grateful to be sober, and thank you guys.
Thanks, everybody. We do have a couple minutes. If anybody has any questions they would like to ask our panelists, we could take one or two questions. You can just do it. I'll repeat it over here.
Trajectory at this moment.
So the question is, are there sober people in the military? And he's just kind of looking for some general direction, it kind of sounded like.
Well,
so.
I'm not finding satisfaction in my career.
Right.
And my career is basic human development.
Right.
And I struggle with seeing that outside of a structured facility type of.
Right. He's not really finding satisfaction in his current career, and he kind of wants something a little more structured, sounds like. So either of you guys have anything to share on this?
Go for it.
So they're recording it, so I had to come back up here. I would say, yeah, there are several people in the military that are alcoholic and are in AA. I am currently at a training command, so I get to see a bunch of how the babies act, and you see them, like, we call them the babies because they've been in for like a year and they can't do shit right, so they act like toddlers. But what, you know, you'll see them, you'll be able to pick out which ones, and you'll have some people that come in at later ages and stuff like that, and it's just like the being a civilian as far as alcoholics go. The good news is in our, you know, in the military, you have the resources to get help if you need it. So because that's available, a lot of people that do need the help and want it do get it. So then you do have a pretty decent military community, especially in the larger, you know, bases and stuff like that. They'll have, you know, meetings on base. They'll have, you know, Army has ASAP, SUDSE. We have SARP or SAPR, which one? One's sexual assault, one's substance abuse, so they get mixed up. But both are like prevention and recovery or something. So we have both programs, so covered both bases. But yeah, to answer your question, there are sober people in the military, and there's more than you. I think at my current command, we had 60 staff members. There was me, one other guy that had like 10 years, and then a couple other people, one student that worked in our office, and then another person or two that either were sober or and didn't work a program anymore but were still sober or were working a program. So, and that's out of like a sample size of 60. They're usually pretty anonymous about it because everybody else likes to drink and go hard. So, but yeah, once you get into the older crowd, you get a lot less of the crazy like shenanigans, and as you're 27 already, you probably will have more of the older crowd around.
And if you'd like to know more on that, you know, you can come and speak to any of us after. I think we all have stuff that we could share on that as well. So that about does it for this meeting. I'd like to get a quick round of applause for our wonderful speakers. And can we also get a round of applause for all the people here, current and prior service? All righty. This time, can we circle up for the Serenity Prayer?
I don't know.
should be really well protected. So, you know, for instance, like, it should be like, if you got a medical appointment, it's signed off by a doctor. The military doctors come in as lieutenants, and they come up from there. So, you usually have an appointment, so then at some office, they can fill on it. So, it's like, if you got to be away from the doctor, you're like, you got to go to medical. You're like, what? You're like, I don't have to fucking tell you shit. It's HIPAA. So, I'm going to medical, and if you don't like it, there's a lieutenant you can call, or a lieutenant commander, or a colonel. Yeah. And like, so we have like, you know, like treatment. Like, I went to rehab in like 2013. I was in Great Lakes at the time. I was like, yeah. So when I went, you know, I was on, you know, I was on like TAD for training. So TAD is temporary additional duty. So it's like, you're going out to do training. So nobody should know where you're at. You know, someone in your, the high ups will get it for you. So you can tell it's a triad, your commanding officer, your general. Oh, whatever. You know,